Insurrection. Obstruction. Indictments. Civilly liable for sexual abuse. The one man responsible for all that could be sitting in a prison cell on election day and still be elected commander-in-chief for these United States. That man is beholden to Putin, weakened NATO the last time around, and is currently tying himself to wealthy Saudi oil money. He enriched himself when government stated his properties. He campaigned on wanting to use government to go after his political rivals and wants to expand executive power. If Donald Trump is reelected, our nation is lost. So let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, and tell the MAGA folks no more before it's too late.
Welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio, talk from the left, that's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana. To join the conversation, it's area code 914-803-4131. That's 914-803-4131. And if you don't want to call in, you can always join us in the chat rooms, either on YouTube, which is at liberaldanradio.com, or on Twitch, twitch.tv/liberaldanradio as well. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, just come on over those other two. It's kind of unwieldy to manage three chats. You want to support the show. If you're on YouTube, like the video, subscribe to the channel if you've not already done so. When we're not in the middle of the podcast, go to other videos, like, comment, share them as well, get the algorithms going. You could also super chat, become a member on YouTube since I'm an affiliate, or you can purchase other people memberships as well on Twitch. If you have Amazon Prime, you can subscribe over there for free. Doesn't cost you anything. Or you can always subscribe and or get subscriptions, use bits, etc. All the good stuff that's available on Twitch as well. And of course, again, as always, if you're on Blog Talk Radio, get on over to the other places. I'm pretty much only using Blog Talk Radio at this point as a soundboard and the ability to take calls when it works. So, you know, That's what happens, because sometimes it doesn't work, and in that case,
it is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. So anyway, stuff to talk about today. Had a long weekend. I'm just very tired this weekend. I don't know. Maybe it's just simply because I'm still not quite over the lack of sleep that I had from coughing up everything, all my lungs, all seven. Feels like I've coughed up 17 lungs at this point. I still have a lingering cough, but it's way much better than it was 2 weeks ago. So, oh yes, Jolie, I forgot one of the things. Patrons, become a Liberal Dan Radio patron, patreon.com/liberaldan or patreon.liberaldan.com. Either way, I'll get you there. You can also buy me a cider, go to liberaldan.com, click the buy me a cider button. Or you can go to buymeacoffee.com/liberaldanradio, or you can Venmo if you feel like supporting the show that way, too. What to talk about first today? Oh, we got 12 viewers, 7 likes, so we got 5 people slacking. Make sure to smash that like button, and then the patriarchy. In news, we did have a crash in New Orleans over the weekend when a streetcar T-boned a city bus, and I'm just wondering if the New Orleans weed rats had anything involved to do with it, as we discussed the last show. Maybe they got on the tracks, maybe they started driving the bus or the streetcar themselves, who knows. You get that much weed in you, you know, well, maybe you might just want to just chill out and not drive anywhere, but then again, you know, whatevs. So That was an interesting thing to see on the news, just a streetcar T-boning a bus. Like, how did you not see one? Like, how did one not see the other? How does that happen? Like, I mean, I know how it happens. It's because it's New Orleans. My oldest son asked me the other day, it was like, why did this thing happen? I'm like, because it's New Orleans. And just as simple as that. Shout out to everyone in chat, the Mod Squad. You got Aaron and Jolie. As always, you got Dawn and P-Dubs joining us, Eazy-E Network. Thank you all for popping in and saying hello. Appreciate y'all. I guess we'll always have one user that doesn't like because I have the Botrix account that actually like lets me like do neat things like combine my alt hatch into one window so it's easier to see, and or I can post it up here on the window as well if I feel like it. So there's that. We do have Pence did say that despite, I guess, his making his oath to endorse the eventual Republican nominee so he could get up on stage, he as well, just like Nikki Haley, has said that he won't be endorsing his former boss. It's interesting in the fact that I believe that he is probably the only vice president in the history of our nation to not endorse his boss for election. Like, I mean, granted, you don't have a lot of situations. You don't have a lot of situations where you had a president win, lost, and then run again. I mean, you have one such circumstance. But even then, you know, you have had circumstances where presidents have switched streams and changed vice presidents over the course. I don't know if, as Adlai Stevens said, I don't know who he endorsed when FDR went with Truman. I'm sure he probably went along and did the party thing, but you never know. Maybe I'm wrong about that one. We'll see. Well, maybe we could look that up or someone can post that if, maybe one of the mods. I don't know. We'll see. Well, maybe we'll look into that a little bit later. It's not too much of a big deal. I think that's Wes. Hello.
Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Hey, I was right. I guessed that it was Wes. How are you doing this evening?
I said it was me, but you're not looking at the chat. You know,
am I not looking at the chat?
Yeah.
I don't see anything in the chat from you, but oh well.
It says Wes, 815. That's okay. I didn't call a fight with you.
That's okay.
I've been fighting all day. I've been fighting the Q-Magoos.
The what?
The Q-Magoos. The Q-Magatoids.
Oh, okay. Yes. Oh, the Q-Magadudes. Okay, I see. I see. I understand now. I am now on your wavelength. So what were you arguing with them about?
Sorry.
Just regular old, their normal BS, or are they on some new BS today beyond the bloodshed or the bloodbath or whatever the hell he said? Because,
This isn't on the air, right?
No, we're on the air.
On airwaves.
No, it's not on like terrestrial radio. No, the FCC is not involved with the regulating of this. So go on.
Okay. Well, one of the things is censorship, which you can say pretty easily. But one of the other things is a certain first lady, former first lady's genitalia.
Oh, there are a whole bunch of Republicans who are all insisting or want to say that Michelle Obama was born a man or something like that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and they have all sorts of fake articles, you know, and what do you call them when they're trying to test the truth?
I don't know if they even try and test truth. I think they just throw lies on the wall to see which one sticks.
Fact checkers. They call
fact checkers, but they're not checkers.
Fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like fake fact checkers, and they say that you can have the
first
same
fact checkers. First of all, hold on a second.
Shout out
to Bill, who is a liberal Danimal. Thank you, Bill P., for becoming a liberal Danimal member on YouTube. Thank you so much. Back
hey,
to you,
Bill. Thank you. Yeah, but they they had the same sort of thing about the last former first lady and awful, worse things in some ways, but then they also have things that, and maybe it's just me, because I think they probably are real.
I don't know. But the thing is that they're always hypocritical when it comes to the first spouses, if you will, since now that we have a first, since we have a second gentleman, I guess, because of the vice president. But when it comes to the first spouses, they are always hypocritical with that because, you know, they were all up in arms over Michelle Obama's dresses that she wore that where she, you know, showed her full arms.
Bare arms.
Melania can go ahead and wear and be naked, and they'll be like, "Ooh, she's an exception."
Right.
So they'll
even with a lady totally naked with another naked lady, and that's art.
Well, you know, they have their fantasies, I suppose. Like
yeah.
There's
I
always
think you're
the typical
right.
the typical horrible, you know, I'm okay with I'm okay with gay marriage as long as both chicks are hot. Like that's their typical like, you know, hypocrisy, you know.
Oh, speaking of hot chicks, Aaron and Jolie are talking about me.
They're wondering if you didn't hit enter.
No, I hit enter because I can see it myself. I wouldn't be able to see it. I'm right under. P Dub says Jolie, and Jolie says hi, Don O'Leary.
I don't see it.
WW says Wes 815.
I don't see it. It's not there for me.
Oh,
who knows?
Man, you got me blocked or something.
I don't.
I'm like Teresa on what's it called? Trucker John.
Oh. Maybe there's that problem going on. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if we can figure it out.
Who knows Facebook? Oh, wait a minute. This is YouTube.
Yeah, this is YouTube, not Facebook. Social media.
Who knows either one? I have a page that I used to store. It was liberal stuff, you know, and I used it to tease some of the Q Megatoid people, you know, that are from my hometown.
Right.
And, so some of them started putting things on there, too, and it kind of turned into a meme war. It's getting a little out of hand.
Well, yeah. Yeah, speak of the devil. Hey, Trucker John, what's going on? There's Jackie in the chat, too. Good to see you.
Hey, Trucker John.
But
someday
one of the
we'll do a show together.
So what do you think of what Wes, what do you think about the whole Donald Trump asked 30 people to back his bond for his $400 million bond that he needs to get for the for his other civil loss to the state or city of New York? And
everybody
really
want to know what I think?
Zero for
you
30.
You really want to know what I think?
Sure.
I think it's a fundraiser.
You might be right. He might be saying that just to get the useful idiots to go and donate even more money to Donald Trump's campaign or to the GOP at this point. It's one and the same.
Anything.
He hates to
sell anything. And those people can tell how much he actually owns, you know. They can tell if he, like, what percentage of Trump Tower is actually his capital that he can use as collateral. Those people that are supposed to put up the bond are allowed to see that.
Right.
It's going to be
And a lot of the times when you put up the bond, a lot of times they want it to be unencumbered anyway. But they don't want anybody else having a say as to, I get a claim on this land or on this property or this whatever it is you're putting up collateral, be it artwork or whatever, because if two people get to fight over it and it doesn't liquidate for the entire amount, then they start fighting over who gets what. So you want to be the primary lien holder, or else you get screwed. And Donald Trump has a history of screwing a lot of people, unfortunately.
He does.
That's how we got Eric and Don Jr.
I think the Kushners can bail him out at any minute, you know.
Well, there is that too.
I don't know that they're on such good terms right now. I'm not sure what's going on. You know, Tiffany's been working for the Don.
Yeah, I don't understand. She's just like, if she would have red hair, she would be the redheaded stepchild of the Trump family, just because, you know.
Yeah.
It's from Marla. She's from Marla.
She's been
so,
told,
you know.
It's probably imaginary, and she's been in love with him her whole life, but she's been quoted as not being in love with her daddy, you know, and that she was staying out of it and everything. And then all of a sudden, you know, she's right at daddy's side like a lapdog.
Well, you know, either he made threats or to cut her off or whatever, or I don't know, maybe she's worse than people thought. So you never know. So,
yeah, and she just got out of college. I think she's trying to establish a name for herself or something, but Trump is not going to be a good name in the near future, I have a feeling. Suzanne,
nope.
My beloved.
Anyway, anything else to throw
I'm
in
sorry,
before we move
I
on to other topics?
Like that, should I?
No problem.
Huh?
Anything else you want to throw in before we head to some other topics?
Not really. I got one more thing that makes the Q-Magatoids mad.
Go ahead.
Well, tomorrow I will go over the polls. It's supposed to be nice. So if it's nice, I'll walk over because it's only a few blocks.
Right.
And I will take a Republican ballot, and with a big fat smile on my face, I will proudly vote for Nikki Haley.
I love seeing Nikki Haley get the votes, even though she suspended her campaign. That probably pisses Trump off so much. It's anything that makes him like fly off the edge, as long as he doesn't have the hand and finger on the button, is good by me. You just get to see how unhinged Donald Trump is every time he loses votes. Even if when he wins, he finds losses in wins. So
on that we agree, sir.
Anywho,
yeah.
So thank you so much, Wes.
I love you, buddy.
Appreciate you. Love you,
you
too, man.
It.
Have a good one.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Wes, everybody. We may have to figure out the technical difficulties as to why his thing didn't post, but who knows? We'll see. Maybe I'll look into it this after the show or something. Anyway, but yeah, just the fact that he can't get anybody. Maybe he's lying. You never know. That's what I think he's reporting, that he had 30 people tell him no. And maybe he's saying that just because he wants to use that to raise funds. If Wes could have a very good point on that. Or maybe it's just true, and maybe he's just effed. Maybe he just absolutely is, you know, going to have to start having assets liquidated next Monday or so, he can't come up with the bond or the money or the cash or the liquid assets to go ahead and put that money up. I guess they put it into escrow or something if he's putting up money, so that he can try and appeal the ruling. But of course, we already covered last show that he already has in New York City proper. He already has claims that the claims made by E. Jean Carroll were false, and that was enough to say that Donald Trump was being inflammatory against her, which meant he lost even more money. So he might lose even more money when it comes to that. Plus the fact that he owes the 400 something million in fines to this state of New York or city of New York, whoever was, whatever government entity was behind, probably the state of New York, and ultimately that is responsible for collecting that fine. And then you have the other case coming up. Of course, the other case is coming up is has been postponed because for some dumb reason they decided to wait till the last minute to send like thousands of papers of evidence that they now need to go over, which now the New York criminal case can't go forward immediately. And it's just like, come on, what are y'all doing? Stop being stupid. It's like they're bumbling. This should be open and shut in almost every single one of these circumstances. But they keep delaying and delaying and delaying themselves above and beyond whatever Trump's trying to delay. You have his Florida lackey judge who is doing his bidding by just allowing things to just go at a snail's pace. I guess she's hoping that if she has it go at a snail's pace for so long that she'll not have to do anything, and because he'll be president, and then so she hopes. I don't hope, but that's probably what she hopes. And then his underlings, i.e. the people running the Justice Department at that point, can just drop the suit because he'll be the one in charge of running the Justice Department. So, what's up, Tim Farrell? Praise be. Yes, under his eye, Tim. Under his eye, indeed. Praise be. If Trump was really a multi-billionaire, he would just cut a check for the fines and move on. Feed him the dashboard. I mean, I don't know. A lot of billionaires, how liquid are billionaires? Like, I don't know how liquid is, for example, Elon Musk. He's a billionaire, sure. But a lot of his wealth and probably the vast majority of his wealth is not liquid. It's probably shored up in stocks and bonds and Twitter and other Tesla and other things that he owns outright, like, you know, whatever. So what's up, Mish? Good to see you. Someone set up a GoFundMe for Trump just to embarrass him. That'd be hilarious. Might be a violation of terms of service. Now we would do that, and we would be the ones that get in trouble for it. So, I see Wes now. Look at that. There's a Wes. A wild Wes appears. Wild, wild Wes. See, not how it works, but Trump is not a cash billionaire. We know that. Right. But the thing is that a lot of rich people, the way that they maintain their wealth, and also the way that they pay little in taxes, is they have their pay given to them in like deferred stock options or something. So they keep getting stocks and stocks and stocks and having those stock values build up, and then they take loans out against their stocks or against their portfolios or whatever, and then they'll pay it off with another loan, and the banks are happy because they'll just keep paying off the loans, and the banks will be making money. Meanwhile, these guys are getting wealthy, 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 but are living off of debts that they incurred that they use their own other wealth as collateral, so they never have to pay taxes, or they pay very little taxes or much less taxes than anybody else would normally pay. So that's how a lot of the times these rich, wealthy SOBs get around this. So they're not necessarily so they're not illiquid in and of itself, but a lot of their liquidity is based on debt that's taken off of the property and other entities and equity that they own, if you will. So yeah, Chris, these billionaires are mortgaged to the hilt. A lot of them are. A lot of them, I'm sure in a lot of the cases, a lot of the billionaires are mortgaged. It's their companies that are mortgaged to the hilt. And it's not them themselves that are mortgaged to the hilt. You have some, I'm sure there's some corporate entity, I don't know what the name is, but that is in charge of owning Mar-a-Lago or whatever. And then there's a corporate entity that owns Trump Tower. And then there are and then of course Trump and his sons and Ivanka and everybody else has their share of the pie of what they own as a part of those businesses. But that's the way that the rich also get away with, you know, not having to, you know, be sued because, oh, you get wrong, but you're just going to sue the corporation instead. I mean, I technically have a corporation for Liberal Dan as well. I mean, if somebody tries to sue Liberal Dan Radio, they're going to get like a couple hundred bucks at this point. Woo! But they won't get, they shouldn't be able to get much from me. Because again, if you're suing Liberal Dan Radio, you're not suing me. So, Tim Farrell, interesting. I think I'll try that get rich, no tax plan. I mean, there's one thing that you need in order to start that. You need something to prime that pump, which means you need to have a bunch of, like, stock equity, a bunch of, you know, you have to own a lot of stock, you have to own a lot of property already that you can use as collateral to get those loans in the first place. Otherwise, they're going to be like, no, we're not going to give it to you. So, excuse me. What's up, Steve? Letitia James is going to get the tower. Either Letitia James will get it or E. Jean Carroll will get it, one of the two. Funny thing is, I was thinking to myself, if I was E. Jean Carroll, do I go buy Trump Tower off of Trump? And I'm like, no, because if I do that, then I'm using Trump's money to help him get out of his other debt. So, no, I don't want to touch any of his properties with a 10-foot pole because I don't want to use the money that he has to pay me if I'm E. Jean Carroll to help him pay off other debts that he owns other people. So no, stay far, far away from that as possible. Tim, ruin your life. I ruin everybody's life. It is what it is. Sorry, Donald. I stole your line. It happens. My bankers keep telling me to borrow from them. Of course, yep. That's what they're there for. Make Melania homeless again. I'm sure Melania will find a way if it ever. Hey, Nerd Misha over on Twitch. Good to see you. If any thing were to happen where Melania seemed to be in trouble, I'm sure she'd be able to find somebody else who would be interested in Melania. Some other wealthy person. If Donald lose a whole bunch of money and he has to go back to Russia to deal with his creditors, Melania can go find other wealthy businessmen. Susanna, call her malaria. Malaria child. I'm sure he's probably called her malaria from time to time. My wife, malaria. I mean, Melania. Something like that, you know. Anyway, so we do have, I didn't do it in time to upload it to Patreon, but I did create a Hypocrite of the Week this week. And it's a good old standby for Hypocrite of the Week. So before, let's just, first and foremost, let me just check the sound settings just to make sure it's not being stupid. It looks like it's not being stupid, but you never know. Sound settings. See, I think Melania got a really good post-marital agreement, especially after Stormy. Melanoma fits better. She's a cancer too. Yeah. Melanoma. I love melanoma. My melanoma is Melania is my melanoma. She grows on you like a cancer. Although Trump, if Melania were a melanoma, it's like, why is it taking so long for it to get old Donald? So, yeah, this thing is being stupid again. I thought I had found the solution to make it not be controlled by other devices, but unfortunately that is not the case. So I guess I got to hang back from the mic some more just to make sure that I don't get too low, get low, to the window, to the wall, all that good jazz. Anyway, let's go ahead and play this week's Hypocrite of the Week. This week's Hypocrite of the Week is soon-to-be former Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. He called it grotesque and hypocritical for Senate Majority Leader Schumer to call for the removal of Netanyahu with new elections. What is grotesque and hypocritical is for McConnell to say that courts should deal with Trump's crimes back in 2021, but then now endorse the insurrectionist in chief for election to his second term. To see who the next Hypocrite of the Week will be, tune in every Monday and Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central to LiberalDanRadio.com and Twitch.tv/LiberalDanRadio for more talk from the left. That's right. Hey, John Deff over in the chat on YouTube. Good to see you. When Mitch McConnell was like, I think it's grotesque and hypocritical for people to be calling, who made a big deal about Russian interference in our elections, to want to call for new elections in Israel. Like, I mean, soon to be former Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell needs to get over himself, because he was the one out there saying that you could, that you don't need to convict on impeachment. It's actually, it sounds more like Nixon at this point, but you don't need to convict on impeachment because you have the courts to do that. Well, the courts are trying to do that, and he's not helping in any way, shape, or form, even though he was one of the potential victims of Trump's insurrectionism. Yet, he's going to sit there and endorse Herr Donald. That's why hypocrisy is a conservative prerequisite. We say that over and over and over again. Wes, if you're Jewish, aren't you an automatic Israeli citizen? I don't think it's automatic. I think you have to, like, make, as Jews call, aliyah. But I think I could get Israeli citizenship much more easily if I wanted to. Although, with the amount of shit-talking that I do when it comes to bashing Netanyahu and being critical of the Israeli actions post, 10-7, you know, it's possible that they may be like, we don't want him. So... spaghetti. But yeah, so there's that. So Mitch, Moscow Mitch had to be our hypocrite of the week, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Oh man, lamb chops. I'm coming to see you, Bill. You just won that. You just won it for tonight. That's lamb. Lamb's one of my favorites. I love lamb. In fact, actually in Israel, the best form of lamb that I've had is in Israel is lamb shawarma. And so you can't find it here. It's aggravating. Maybe if I went up to, like, Michigan and went to go hang out in some communities up there, maybe they would have lamb shawarma. But I can't find lamb shawarma anywhere. It's ridiculous. Everything else is just gyros. So, oh, man, fish and chips? All I had was beef and broccoli. And it was, like, pre-made beef and broccoli from Costco. Not that it's bad, but, you know, I'd much rather fish and chips or lamb chops, or et cetera. I might need some soup, because apparently in New Orleans, even though it's March in New Orleans, it's supposed to get to freezing tonight for at least a couple hours. What the hell? Climate change is not real, right? But it's March, and we're supposed to get down to freezing in New Orleans. It's absurd. Ooh, spaghetti made with venison? Mmm. Y'all are making me hungry, and I'm not. Shouldn't be. That's why I'm a big boy. Because I like to eat. Especially all the good foods we're talking about. I do have something that I want to read later. I found a very interesting. It probably, if I had Liberal Dan After Dark or whatever going on, if that was the thing that I started it, I'd probably read it there, because it's a little not safe for work. But we're going to wait till later to read it, because it's an amazing little bit of science that is a little not safe for work as well. It's science, but it's also a little not safe for work. Not necessarily something that that you want to read and maybe in front of the kiddos. Who knows? Depends how old the kiddos are, I guess. So. But one of the things that I did want to bring up, let's go ahead and bring up this video first, because, you know, we want to make sure that we cover all of this thing. So let's start recording, and we're going to flip to the alternate, and there you go. So Donald Trump predicts a bloodbath in economy and auto industry if he loses election. Now, he claims it's a bloodbath in the economy, but is that what he really said? Or is, again, what he says dog whistles? So let's go ahead and listen to what he says. I'm sure he's going to be able to do that. I'm sure he's going to be able to get his Congress. I mean, and maybe if he wins, he'd be able to do it. But, I mean, he says he's going to be dictator on day one. So if he has a Congress that's willing to go with him, then let him be a dictator. I guess he can do whatever he wants. If not in reality, at least in action, if they just always do what they want him to do and they don't actually act as a check on the power of the presidency, then, yeah, sure, he could probably do that if he wanted to. Because if he gets elected president, he will probably have a House and a Senate that supports him. And they'll use the nuclear option to get rid of any possible Democratic opposition, and there'll be no filibuster, and there'll be no way for the Democratic Party in the House or Senate to stop anything that Trump wants to do. Just to give you that little scary thought in your head. But let's continue with Herr Fuhrer's Orange Julius's words. That'll be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. Now, of course, before any Republicans came forward and said, you know, let's see, let's watch the let's. See, and that's the thing. Like as soon as it came out that he said that there was going to be a bloodbath, I was like, you know. He said, use those words purposefully, and he's going to be able to rest on the whole. Well, I always said it in the context of giving, of talking about the automobile industry. But, you know, when Trump says things, a lot of the times they have multiple meanings to multiple people, and the people who he wants to hear the message, the other message that he wants them to hear it loud and clear. Recall the debates between him and Biden, where he was talking about, you know, this. They urged him or implored him or asked him to tell the Proud Boys to stand down, and he goes, stand back and stand by. He didn't say stand down. He said stand back and stand by. Now, maybe at some point he'll say, or he would say, you know, well, that's what I meant. I meant stand down. I didn't mean for him to stand by for any action. But the people who listened, the Proud Boys themselves were like, we heard you loud and clear. You told us to stand by, and we're standing by. Give us your orders. That's what they heard. That's what they wanted to hear. That's what he wanted them to hear. And if you believe anything else, you're one of the people that Donald Trump called the poorly educated, that he loved. The poorly educated people who Donald Trump loves fall over themselves every day to prove to him that they are poorly educated so that they'll get his love. Simple as that. So if you really believe that he's just talking about automobiles here, I have a bridge in Brooklyn. I have a tower in Manhattan, I'd like to tell you, bearing the name Trump. If Donald Trump wins, see, every Republican accusation is a confession. He's accusing the other side, i.e. our side, i.e. the good guys, that we're not going to allow any other elections to happen again. In reality, if he doesn't win, what that basically means, that's telling his gunned up, gun nut, QAnon, MAGA-T, Magoo supporters to get ready for round two of January 6th. It's insurrection to election boogaloo. And that's the message that he's telling them. But in reality, also, if he becomes president, the likelihood of us having another election again, because he wants to be dictator from day one, and people who are dictator in day one never want to give up power on day two, day three, day four. They get enamored with the power. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely, and he's absolutely going to take advantage, even if he's not a dictator by name, even if he's still officially president, if he has a Supreme Court and a Congress that are unwilling to take any action against him, he becomes a de facto dictator just because the other branches of government refuse to do their duty. So Well, it's going to be postmortem day, so you have to, you know, keep counting, and then we'll go to the 6th and the 7th, because certain states don't allow you to start counting the mail-in votes or the absentee ballots before election time is over. So you have to start counting those once the polls close, and you can't start counting them sooner. Now, some states have changed that, and that's good, because that'll make it more likely to get an answer. But, of course, he's going to sit there like, stop the counting. Just stop the counting, because you're going to have the situation again in a lot of areas where you have mail-in votes, and Democrats more often than Republicans use mail-in voting in a lot of states, and you're still going to have the situation where he's going to be like, I won, I believe I won, because and they need to stop counting votes now so to prove that I won. Well, no, if you really won, you'd want them to count every single ballot, and that's it. But Donald Trump doesn't want every single ballot counted. This is why, as a side note, this is why I believe that the Republicans, especially Donald Trump, but all the other Republicans, you know, in the head charge of the GOP, Republicans who are on talk radio, why every single one of them wants paper ballots. They want pure paper ballots with no other trail. And the reason they want that is because if you have paper ballots, it makes it a lot easier to toss ballots away. Oh, we misplaced those ballots. No way to know how they voted. Oh, well, too bad for them. That's why you need to have, you should have, I'm all for having a system where you have an electronic voting machine that takes the ballots, but then also having a paper trail that you can verify against each machine. So if you want to audit machines and be like, okay, let's audit this machine. Here's the paper printout that was verified by the voter. Hell, you can even have the voter sign the printout. So, okay, you cast your vote, you hit vote, it prints out a receipt, you sign the receipt, and you turn it into the election person before it actually gets counted into the system to show that you have a paper copy now matching another copy, and that goes into a hopper that's right by the voting machine, and you and then that's that. When you want to audit machines, you can do it easily and quickly at that point. But that's not what they want. They don't want valid elections. They don't want election integrity. They want to count as few votes as possible so that they win, because Republican wins when you have lower turnout. Republicans win when you have fewer people voting. That's when Republicans win. They don't want a lot of people showing up, because big turnout harms Republicans. So they're going to do everything in their power to stop people from turning out. Anyway, so there's that. There's the Trump comments. And again, I'll repeat it again, just to double down on it. Again, as soon as I heard Trump say it, I knew exactly what the Trump apologists were going to say. They were absolutely going to say that it's just about the auto industry. It's not about anything else. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Gives them enough plausible deniability to be able to say, hey, this is what I really meant. I didn't really mean that it's going to be an actual bloodbath. I meant that it was going to be an economic bloodbath in the auto industry. But that gives him enough leeway for the people to be like, well, yeah, it's just the liberals and the media that are trying to say that it's something that it isn't. And in reality, he's giving the message to the people that he wants to hear the message, that he wants a bloodbath. He wants there to be bloodshed if he doesn't win. That's why he did nothing on January 6th for hours while insurrectionist, treasonous a-holes stormed the Capitol, while Ashley Babbitt got shot for being a domestic terrorist Barbie, if you will. He could have saved Ashley Babbitt's life if he would have just taken some action and actually done, but he didn't want to take action. All he wanted to do was eat his hamburgers and throw ketchup against the wall because he was angry. Because he just wanted to, he couldn't imagine the fact that he lost to somebody who ran from his basement. You know, pretty sad for somebody to lose to somebody running from their basement, right? Even though he really wasn't really running from his basement, but he was just being responsible during COVID, Biden was, and Trump was not. Trump killed Herman Cain in Tulsa. Not saying it's a huge loss, but I'm just saying, if you liked Herman Cain, that's Trump's responsible for that too, for holding that big. The only reason more people, here's the thing. The only reason more people didn't die in Tulsa, Oklahoma during Donald Trump's rally is because of TikTok. TikTok, that's why probably why the Republicans don't like it. TikTok is responsible for them thinking that this rally was going to be huge, and all these TikTokers went ahead and just reserved tickets for themselves and never showed up. So they had to plan for this huge overflow area, and in reality, they didn't fill half the room because a bunch of the tickets went to TikTokers who were just trying to troll the president. So, you know, that's probably why many of the Republicans don't like TikTok. Let's see. What gets me is the election deniers blame Republicans for the mistakes in ballot counting. Well, you have the election deniers who are pro-Trump who are saying it's a whole Democratic plot to have him picked off the ballots. Meanwhile, it was Republicans who actually brought that Colorado lawsuit. So, Tim Farrell, the big scam that's coming is disqualifying signatures on ballots. Republican poll workers will cheat. Absolutely. That is something else that they want to be, because they want Republicans to be able to challenge, or they want anybody to be able to, when they say anybody, they mean they want Republicans, because they don't want, like, you know, Democrats coming in and challenging ballots in states. They only want Republicans to be able to come in and challenge ballots and challenge people. I don't think that person is a voter. I don't think that person doesn't look eligible to vote for me. I'm going to challenge the signature. Like, and it's all going to be based on racism. And that's it. It's all going to be based on racism. West needs to appeal to the middle ASAP. Hillary didn't think that she had to. She lost. I know she really won. The thing is that Biden is the middle. Biden is a centrist. He runs as basically a centrist. I mean, yeah, he does lean more to the left than he used to, but the idea that Biden is some socialist like the Republicans claim is a laughable idea. He's not a socialist whatsoever. Let's see. Trump, words, sniff, sniff, words, sniff, sniff, and you forgot the stroking of people on the right and on the left when he walks down dancing to the YMCA. It's fun to stay at the YMCA. Anyway, or maybe it's one of the other ones. Yeah, Nurmisha, and then salutes them at the beginning of his rally, his national anthem with the J6ers. That's the other thing. Like, I really need to call in a Jeff Shaw. I've been slacking. I really haven't wanted to, but I really need to, because I need to ask questions. Like, I want to be like, so the guy that was convicted for beating up on a cop with a hockey stick, is that person a hostage? Or is that person legitimately in prison right now because he was found guilty? I mean, a lot of the people that were brought up in charges or found to have pled guilty to make things easier on themselves, because they know they're guilty. They knew they did wrong. And some of them are probably mad that Trump didn't do as they thought he would and pardoned him back then. I mean, if he would have pardoned him back then, he might have had more voters. But maybe he didn't think he needed to. Maybe he thought it was going to be successful. Maybe he's so high on himself. Maybe he's so high. Maybe he's just so brainwashed. Maybe, I don't know if brainwashed is the right word. I'm looking for the right word. I don't know. But he believes that he's so untouchable. That's probably the right word I'm looking for. Let's see. Biden is further left than advertised, I think, on purpose. First priority is get elected. Maybe. I mean, but still, when people call him a socialist, I laugh, because he sits there and goes, and he doubles down every time, I'm a capitalist. making everybody to the left of him who hates capitalism just cringe. Like I don't want to hear that. When he goes, I'm a capitalist. Don O'Leary, I'm not going to afford the sexy liberal Texas trying to win off the radio. I would love to be able to attend a sexy liberal, especially if Hal's going to be there. I also want to talk to Stephanie Miller and be like, hey, I'm the guy that keeps bringing up the whole idea of the not so sexy, but yet still liberal undertour or something like that. We're the B team, or we're the minor leagues waiting for y'all to make it huge on the national scene so we can step up. So, Rosebud, he doesn't give a crap about the hostages. Well, it's not even hostages. They're not hostages. He calls them hostages because it gets them good political play, but they're terrorists. They're insurrectionists. They're criminals. They effed around, and then they found out, especially Ashley Babbitt, terrorist Barbie. So, hey, Steve, what's going on? Good to see you from across the pond. Better late than never, right, Steve? So one of the other things I did want to talk about today was Elon Musk. Let's go ahead and increase this thing, because Elon Musk had a Don Lemon thing on Don Lemon official on all of his channels or whatever, and he was interviewed by, or Elon Musk was interviewed by Don Lemon, and they were talking about a bunch of things, and I figured what better way to handle a response video to Elon Musk and his ridiculous non-understanding of American politics than simply just responding to this little clip that is posted on the Twitter tubes, on Twitter, on Shitter, or whatever you want to call it, X, because, you know, he had to be different, but I'm calling it Twitter. But anyway, so this is a big, ugly picture of Elon Musk first before we actually start playing. Not that one. There we go. There you go. Don Lemon Show, Don Lemon Official, and he is talking about various things, and we will pause as we need to in order to discuss what he is saying and what he's failing to understand. So let's go. That is the thing with great replacement theory. Like, that's in and of itself a anti-Semitic. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I mean, you know, you don't want to prejudge people. You really don't. But when it turns out that someone whose family's from South Africa turns out being anti-Semitic and bigoted and racist, you know that he's coming from that part of the country or those people in the country that probably still hold those beliefs. If he's sitting there spouting great the replacement theory. Holy crap. But let's continue. And that's what I've said to him in tweets several times whenever he posts about, you know, Democrats want more voters. That's why they're allowing immigrants. I'm like, no, they can't vote. Sorry, brah, you're wrong. You're just making a big stink out of nothing. But, you know, let's hear what Mr. Musk has to say to see what it is exactly that he is trying to say here. You're conflating two things. He's not the one committing. He's quoting off of you, Elon. You're the one who's stating this. He's not conflating anything. He's calling you out on your words, bruh. Do they? Because even if they come from, there are immigrants that come from many other areas of the world who are conservative-minded. You have the Republicans never talk about the people who come over from Cuba, because they're more than happy to accept Cuban refugees, because Cuban refugees tend to be lashing out against communism and socialism and tend to be more conservative. That's why you never hear them when they're talking about, you know, building a wall. They're not going to build a wall on Florida's tip to stop anybody from Cuba coming over. Why is that? Because they don't mind the Cubans coming over, because they'll use them to their own benefits. Let's continue. Again, they can't vote. Increase voters to Democratic voters. Not exactly what he's saying here with that line, but he does go a little bit into more detail, and that's where we're going to get why he really doesn't understand American politics whatsoever. Yeah, Don Lemon's face just says it all, just like, what? And he is right, except for conservatives don't want to count them. So when Trump was president, he wanted to balk at counting them, at least in certain states or whatever. But he's right about that. And I've talked about this on the show before. I've talked about how the census counts everybody, including people who are here who are undocumented, people who are, you know, laborers, people who are, you know, whatever. Whatever you're here for, they count you, regardless of whether or not you're here in you're here following our immigration laws or you're not. And of course, I'll remind everybody that somebody coming into the country, stepping foot on American soil and declaring asylum is a legal act. That is not a violation of the law. A lot of the people who are here in violation of our immigration policies are people who, like, you know, overstay their visas and stuff like that, or who lie on their visas to marry rich orange billionaires. But let's continue. So he's talking apportionment, and I have also talked about this on the show. I have said many times, even though it should be illegal for DeSantis and Abbott to involve themselves at all in border policy, and they should be considered to be kidnappers for their actions involving taking the people who are undocumented migrants or who are asylum seekers or whatever they feel of them, and putting them into buses and shipping them over to, like, Martha's Vineyard or to California or New York City or whatever, wherever it is that they ship them to. I think those actions should be illegal, but I've been saying on the show for a long time, perfect, send them all to the blue states so that when it comes time for apportionment in 2030, we'll get more congressional seats. Thank you, DeSantis. Thank you, Abbott, for helping the blue states get more seats in the long term. But here's what Elon Musk doesn't get. This is what Elon Musk, he doesn't get. It's not the Democrats that are moving these people around. It's the Republicans. DeSantis and Abbott are the ones who are taking these people and shipping them off to different areas. If they would have just, if DeSantis and Abbott had working brain cells, they'd have been like, yes, please, stay in our states. We'll find a place for you. And then in 2030, when it comes time to do the census, we'll have even more of a say in Congress than we already do. But no, they're stupid. They don't understand this. They don't understand the strategic nature of what might happen. So yeah, I'm actually a little impressed maybe that Musk understands that by having more bodies in a state, that state can get more congressional seats. But he's not understanding the fact that it's DeSantis and Abbott who are shipping all of these people all over the country. If they hadn't have done that, there'd be more people staying in Texas, more people staying in Florida. And then come 2030, you'll have another seat or two maybe in those two states because he didn't, you know, think stupidly about the whole thing. But I'm like, Send them all to the blue states so that the blue states can overcome the issues that they're having with apportionment. Because apportionments, we're not doing apportionment correctly. If we apportioned correctly, we'd have 100 more seats in general. And like California would have at least 10, if not 12 more seats. I think maybe even 14. I think I figured out that it should either be 68 or 69, and I believe they have 53 or 55. So it's either going to be they're at most 15 away, I think, of 15 fewer seats than what really should exist in California at the moment. If you compare California's population size to Wyoming's population size, so if we took Wyoming, which is the least populous state, and we made that, and we took the number of Wyoming populations that each state has, you would get 100 more seats. Some seats might go to Republicans, some seat might go to Democrats, but you'd be able to more effectively and accurately represent the number of the representation in Congress as the founders wished, minimally. Reality, you could go lower than that. You could give Wyoming like 5 seats and say that a fifth of Wyoming is enough to represent. And then you can make, well, then you'd have like what? 250 seats from California. They'll never go for that. The Californian, they'll never, ever go for that. But you would have a better equipped or more closely aligned electorate, or at least House, as compared to what the founders wanted. Now, granted, the founders aren't, you know, these beacons of clarity that we should look for in times of need or struggle or when looking for answers for things. But if you want to go quote the founders, look what the founders did, what the founders set up, we're not doing that either. We're doing it worse than the founders did it, except for, you know, the whole three-fifths compromise thing. So, but California is absolutely underrepresented in Congress because we don't apportion correctly. Let's continue. Except they've restricted it to 435, which means they have to do fuzzy math. No, they can go anywhere. They've been everywhere. A lot of them are in Texas. A lot of them are in Florida. But Abbott and DeSantis don't want them, so they've been shipping them off to the blue states. Again, it's the Republicans doing this. It's not the Democrats that are doing this. It's the Republicans that are doing this. We have a border policy that could be passed. It passed the Senate, but the House won't pass it, even though there's enough votes in the House to pass it, because the Republicans in the House are using the Hastert rule, which basically says in order for anything to be brought up to the floor, a majority of the majority has to support it. So you need to have more than 50% plus one of the Republicans in the House saying, yes, let's push it, before it actually gets pushed to the floor, which the Hastert rule just pisses me off. If you have a majority of the people in the House that want to pass something, they should be able to pass it. But the Speaker of the House has too much power to prevent that from happening. He believes this. Now, maybe I can make maybe that's my next project to do, is to debunk Elon Musk to see if you're only counting. I mean, I don't know how you would get all the information. You know, you'd have to probably look at some census information, but you'd have to then rely that the last census was done correctly and the last census was done under Trump. So, and there were problems with that census because he wanted to manipulate the system again. So, and we're in the middle of COVID during the last census, so that also put a wrench in the works, so to speak. So maybe he's right. I don't know. But if we were to fix the Electoral College or fix the apportionment that takes place by adding more seats, as I described earlier, we would give the Democrats more say that they should have, because they currently don't have the say that they should have, the current apportionment. Because, you're losing like 15 seats, 10 to 15 seats in California by itself, let alone anywhere else. But, of course, Musk is going to believe what he wants to believe, and he's probably not going to be open-minded enough to listen to anybody else who dares question his decrees or his beliefs or what have you. Because, again, they're beliefs. He hasn't backed them up with any fact as far as I can see. Yes. Yes. The Electoral College gives undue weight to small red states, even more so than what the founders had intended. Because if you look at the difference between Rhode Island and Virginia back in the 1790s, it's 11 times different. So if you look at the difference between Wyoming and California, 55 times different, 55 times more, maybe more than that. At least that's the say that they have, is 55 times more say, when they should have 68 times more say. Thank you, Don. And Elon's like, I don't know how to handle this, so I don't know what I'm going to do now, because he's going against what I say, and I'm a billionaire, I'm a rich person. I don't like when people contradict me, but yet I can't fire him. Okay, is that like the eBay comment way back in the day? Like when they were trying to tell people how they deal with fraud, is like, sometimes we undercount fraud, but we also overcount fraud. So they undercount and overcount fraud at the same time. How does that work? No, either the Electoral College works to protect red states, or the Electoral College is working to give blue states more power because you're not counting just people who can vote, but you're counting everybody. It doesn't work both ways, Elon, and you're wrong. He looks stoned. Just look at his eyes. Just wait, wait, Mike. Just wait, Bicycle Mike. The job there, Elon, to prove an argument is on you, sir. You have the onus to back up your claims. It's not the responsibility of anybody else to back up your claims. There was another question that Don Lemon asked about his ketamine issue or whatever, the fact that he has a ketamine prescription, and Elon Musk didn't like the fact that he was asked about why he has ketamine prescribed to him, but I think he did confirm at least that he had a ketamine prescription that his doctor prescribed for him. So there's that. But yeah, he's definitely backpedaling now. Yeah, Bicycle Mike, 2 + 2 = 5. That is correct. Although with some of the things that we have looked at as it pertains to, the newer math that the kids are doing these days, when you deal with approximations, you actually have situations where you have to show why 2 + 2 = 5. And I'm like, are they not hearing themselves? I mean, this is just pure Animal Farm 1984 BS. Yes, South African man explains America's politics. I would add in there, Bicycle Mike, poorly. Yeah, and after this interview, Musk dropped Don Lemon's show because he doesn't like the fact that, you know, Don Lemon talked about his ketamine or whatever. There are four
lights.
Good Star Trek reference, Steve. Way to go. Honestly, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but there is something about big city rule. Chicago is needy or greedy itself. It neglects downstate. There are a lot of rural poor. There are a lot of rural poor. And a lot of those rural poor vote against their own best interests because they think one day they're going to be billionaires just like Donald, so they're going to vote for tax breaks for the rich because they hope one day, if they do become rich, that they're going to, you know, get to benefit from these tax breaks too. When the likelihood of them ever becoming that rich is slim to none. So, good vibe, Tribe. 2 + 2 = 1,107.80. Exactly. Exactly. Mish, ketamine therapy for depression helped my son tremendously. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I don't necessarily agree with the fact that Don Lemon asked about his any ketamine prescription that he has. Why? I mean, it's not a HIPAA violation, but still, it's kind of personal. If you have a legitimate prescription, and we're not talking about like the Trump era White House pill mill pharmaceutical pill mill that existed in the White House pharmacy. If you have a legitimate cause that you need prescription, it should be none of anybody's business as to why, what you're taking and why you're taking it. And that pertains to ketamine. That pertains to the morning after pill. That pertains to any sort of oral contraception. That pertains to the abortion pills, etc. It's nobody's business. It should be nobody's business. But the only thing I do want to chime in there is that the whole flyover state argument sometimes people make when they talk about big cities is, cause again, we already have flyover states. They're currently in the system that we have with the Electoral College. There's only, at best, 10 states that matter, and that's pushing it. There are some years back, like Bush v. Gore times, there was only 3 states that were relevant: Florida, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Everything else was not relevant at all. Now it's expanded out to other states because Florida is almost solid. It's pretty solidly red now. Ohio is almost there at the same point. I mean, you have a very gerrymandered pro-Republican thing, pro-Republican legislature, pro-Republican congressional representation. But, you know, you still had them all come out and vote in support of abortion rights, which gives me a little bit of hope. But that's another thing that Elon didn't bring into account. The fact that, you know, you can have all of the people, all of the people who are not citizens who can't vote all you want. Doesn't matter if you gerrymander them. In fact, it helps with gerrymandering because you have to put so many people within a particular district. And one of the things that Texas does, and maybe other states do it too, but I know Texas is Mr. You Lied during the Obama State of the Union. One of the reasons that he's in power, despite the fact that, you know, the Republicans only make up a plurality of the voters in that or the people in that district, is because like a good chunk of the district that he was drawn into gerrymander wise, you have a chunk of people who can't vote because you have a chunk of non-citizen individuals, be they legally there or in, you know, seeking asylum legally, or be they undocumented migrants who are not here in following our immigration laws. You had like maybe like 30 to 40% of, thank you for that, Rose, 30 to 40% district of this district was like people who weren't voting, weren't citizens. They were just shoved in there so they could make a district for him with enough Republicans to have more votes than the Democrats. And then gerrymandering also takes away the votes, the voting power of a lot of people, because in states like New York, you had their Supreme Court say, well, this gerrymandering is wrong. It's unfair to the Republicans. So you need to redraw your maps to be more fair. But then in the Republican states, they're like, let's draw these maps to make them as unfair as possible. And nobody bats an eye. So no, Elon, you don't understand half or a quarter of what the hell's going on in politics. You're just trying to be a xenophobic, ironic xenophobe. That's what you are. You're an ironic xenophobe because you're not from here neither. You're no better than anybody else who came to this country seeking a better life for themselves. I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm saying people who are coming to this country seeking a better life for themselves are bad. I'm just saying that Elon is no better than any of them. He's probably much worse, especially if he's going to sit here being a hypocritical xenophobe. He could have been Hypocrite of the Week this week. Maybe I'll make him Hypocrite of the Week next week. I don't know. We'll see. But Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell already took that position. Anyway, since I'm recording this during the podcast, I want to say, when I post this live later, do you agree with me, disagree with me? What are your thoughts? Leave your comments below. Like and subscribe. Have a good day. So that's that video. Last election, we ended up with more Republicans on the New York Supreme Court. Unbelievable. Yeah, it is unbelievable because people will vote, again, against their best interest because they don't think that rights can be taken away. Either they vote against their best interests, or they don't come out and vote at all because they don't think it's relevant or it matters, not understanding that rights can be taken away in non-election years too. That's what happens. Rights get taken away in years that are not election years. Send Nick Rich, send Elon to Mars or further out. Send him up Uranus.
Wah, wah.
I should have hide your headphones, everybody. Or if you're wearing headphones, lower the volume a smidge, because I should have said it this way. Send Elon to Mars. We should send him to Uranus. Anyway, I have very, very rarely do I get to play that sound, so I wanted to make sure that y'all are protected from your eardrums and not getting blasted with me playing the yeah sound, so don't say I didn't warn you. Thank you, Nick Rich. That's what I do. I may not be as funny as Hal, but I do bring the jokes every once in a while. So one of the things that I really want to go is, was it Missouri? I think it is. There's a town in Missouri called Uranus, and they have fudge, and they double down on the jokes, or triple down and quadruple down and beat the dead horse. But it doesn't matter, because I really want to go to Uranus to try the fudge. And I will absolutely make every joke. I make tons of jokes about on the page too, and I get them laughing because I think I come up with things that maybe they didn't even think about. I don't know. I made some joke about, I haven't been to Uranus yet, so I can't say if their fudge is the best in the world, but I'm willing to bet that it's at least number two. I should do the yes sound again, but oh well. I already scrolled back up. Too late. Oh well. But yes, the Uranus Fudge Factory. It's hilarious. Do you find Klingons there? Yes. You find Klingons around Uranus. English is so funny. Yeah, English is stupid. That's why it's funny. It's because it's stupid. But let me go ahead. Ooh, I need to find this thing. Because before I forget, I mean, we're not going to necessarily, the words that are used are technical, so we're not going to necessarily be worried about the words or whatever, but this is an article that someone shared to me. I think it was Demonox that might have shared it or whatever, the first Liberal Dan Radio patron. And hey, Alarasia, what's going on? But Demonox shared this with me, and I'll put it in the chat. You can accordingly, if you wish, the title of it: Why Have Black Widow Spiders Disproportionately Bitten Men and Their Penises? You heard me right. Black Widow Spiders have disproportionately bitten men and their penises. One old study, according to IFL Science, says one old study apparently found that 8% of black widow spider victims were men, and that the majority of the bites were on penis. Let's scroll. Here's a weird mystery for you, according to this article. Between 1950 and 1959, data on black widow bites was collected in the U.S., during which time 63 people died. A majority of those people were male, and in older studies, it was apparently shown that around 80% of black widow bites happened to men. Weirder still, according to the environmental analyst Kelsey Padgett on an episode of This American Life, the majority of those bites were on penises. She explains, might account for why there were so many deaths from black widow bites around that time. The skin around there is less thick, there are lots of nerves there, and it is a neurotoxin venom. Perhaps being bit on the genitals sends the venom going into your body in a faster or stronger way than, say, if you were bit on the callus of your foot. But why do black widow spiders bite so many males on the penis? a part of the anatomy which is famously kept in our pants rather than near a spider web. Are these, to add my own to it, are these a bunch of kinky ass people, some freaks who just have a Black Widow spider kink? Or are Black Widow spiders especially attracted to dangly bits? No. Black Widow spiders apparently do not want to bite you on the penis or anywhere else. And they'll only do so if they feel threatened. So I guess if you're a guy who got bit on the penis, you know that you have a threatening penis, right? So this disproportionately high number of cases of men being bitten. I wonder if they got paid by the penis. However many penis, or did they have a bet? How many times can you say the word in an article? So it implies that Black Widows have been in lots of situations where they felt threatened, and the penis just happened to be in the vicinity. And that's what Padgett believes was happening. Most of the Black Widow bites that were reported happened in outhouses. A Black Widow spider, they enjoy dark, low-to-the-ground sort of places, and they especially love to make their cobwebs between two objects. And adding bugs and flies love the stink of outhouses. A outhouse would be a prime candidate for a Black Widow spider to set up house, to catch bugs. It's dark. You can definitely find two sides of the outhouse to build your net around, and there, or your web around, and there you go. So putting your web there is excellent. Imagine this: it's the 1950s. You're a guy. You need to go number two, as they say. You make your way out to the outhouse. You sit down, and your junk hangles there, as they say. It says hangles in the article, literally hangles. And as it does, it hits the cobweb. And the usually non-aggressive Black Widow instinctually runs over and bites down on the new creature that just landed on its web. New creature meaning the guy schlong. Since bathrooms began moving indoors, the problem, disproportionate targeting of men and penises, seems to have gone away. Their bites today are rarely fatal, with the majority resolving without treatment, and others being treatable in the hospital. So yes, I found this article, and I had to share it with y'all, because it is hilarious. And speaking of spiders, Navarro's going to jail tomorrow. by Black Widow, are we talking about Scarlet? You'd have to talk to Colin Jost about that one, if she bites him there or not. But no, we're talking about Black Widow spiders, not just the Black Widow. So I know they use human pheromones to attract and trap bed bugs. Outhouses, don't let it dangle in the outhouse. Exactly. Trucker John, it's just penis envy. Hilarious. Black Widow spiders like it hot. They get paid by the pound or by the inch. I guess the authors, maybe they get paid. They're just getting paid by the word. And maybe they got a bonus for every extra penis they included. Oh my. Big hook, Black Widows, how racist. And yeah, I know. The only word, you know, the White Widows. Thank God for indoor plumbing. Yes. The greatest thing since indoor plumbing has now been made an even more valid statement, since we have now all learned that especially men have their more likely to have their dangly bits bitten by spiders, especially Black Widow spiders, if you have to go to the outhouse. So I guess the key is before you go to the outhouse, make sure that the area you're going to sit down on is completely clear of any cobwebs or other webs, so to speak, so that you don't have to deal with spiders biting your wiener. Robin M., maybe the problem is those guys don't give a crap about what condition their outhouse is in, let alone how clean it is. I mean, there's only so much you can clean it, right? I mean, because everything underneath is just bleh. So... if you slap the sit-down part, it scares away the spiders. And again, it might be a good thing to do, but maybe they didn't realize that they needed to do that because they didn't have the internet to share an IFL Science article about how you're more likely if they're not going to get bit by a spider if you're a dude using an outhouse than perhaps if you're a woman using an outhouse. Yes, I'm glad we all have indoor plumbing. That is a wonderful thing to have. What a beautiful thing. beautiful. I have the best outhouse. Nobody has better outhouses. Who reported these bites? Who gathered this information? I mean, it was probably people who got, if you got bit on the schlong by a spider, you're probably going to call the doctor. And of course, when I saw the thing and I was like, I saw the fact that you're more likely than not, you might die more quickly. If the black widow spider bites you on your penis, it reminded me of a Red Fox joke where two guys go camping out in the woods. All of a sudden a venomous snake goes up and bites him, as Red Fox would say, in the most unfortunate of areas, or in the most private of areas or what have you. And so the guy runs down the path, runs over across the bridge, over the lake or whatever. He makes his way to town. He gets to speak to a doctor, and he asks the doctor, "Look, I'm camping with my friend, and he just got bitten by a venomous snake, and it bit him in the most sensitive of areas, if you will. What do I do?" And the doctor says, "Well, you're going to go there. Whenever you're bit by a snake, you have to go up to where the bite is, and you have to suck all the venom out." And so the guy runs back across the road, through the woods, to get to the campgrounds, and his friend goes, "Well, what did the doctor say?" And he says, "The doctor said you're going to die." So, gives a new meaning to the term spider veins. Yes. But see, I guess here's the other side of the thing is if your outhouse is close enough to a nuclear power plant and you get bit by a spider there, could you become Spider-Man? Because that could very well be worth the risk. Set up an outhouse, buy a nuclear power plant, try and get a radioactive spider to bite you so you get superpowers and your spidey sense will start tingling if something else doesn't start tingling first and kill you because you died from the spider venom. So, anyway, like, who reported these? I mean, I used to read when I was a kid, I used to love to read the Book of Lists, and the Book of Lists had so much random, meaningless information, but it was information that was all compiled. Somebody had to compile it. Like, and some of it was just like, you know, what is the maximum allowed average rat hairs per chocolate bar that you can have in America or something. And I think it was like 7. So like if you have a Hershey's bar and there were 7 rat hairs in your Hershey's bar, it's fine. But once there's 8, it's no longer fine. Or something like that. Right, I saw a movie where a pregnant chick gives birth in the outhouse. Guess where the newborn plops? Eesh. Talk about a shitty birth. Meesh, you still have that book? Nice. I don't know if my mom still has it or not. I didn't see it the last time I was there. And the last time I was there was like 2021. So I guess you could say that when that child was born, they made a big splash. That's what happens at Cider a bunch too. When I go to the cider place, a lot of times me and the owner will constantly go back and forth and just make puns until we can't pun no more. It becomes the Punderdome, if you will. God, I hope that's not true about the rat hairs. Well, you might have to get the Book of Lists and find out. Or I could maybe Google it right now. Maximum helps if I, like, you know, actually type right. Maximum rat hairs per chocolate bar. According to CNN Health, Brace yourselves, America. Many of your favorite foods may contain bits and pieces of creatures that you probably didn't know were there. How about some mice dung in your coffee, maggots in your pizza sauce, bug fragments and rat hair in your peanut butter and jelly sandwich? And oh, sorry, chocolate. Darkness is a bar you devour. It might contain 30 or more insect parts, a sprinkling of rodent hair. Called food defects, these dismembered creatures and their excrement are an unfortunate byproduct of growing and harvesting food. Let's see. Lunch. Let's skip down to dessert. Dinner. Where is? Come on. The scrolling is not doing very well with me right now. The force is not strong with me with scrolling. Let's see. Let's scroll back up. Let's see. Did you pack some of those kid-sized boxes of raisins for your child's mid-afternoon snack? Golden raisins are allowed to contain 35 fruit fly eggs, as well as 10 or more whole insects for every 8 ounces. Kid-sized containers of raisins are 1 ounce each. That's more than 4 eggs and a whole insect inside each box that you're allowed to have. Lunch. Peanut butter is one of the most controlled foods on the FDA list. An average one of more rodent hairs and 30 or so insect fragments are allowed for every 100 grams, which is 3.5 ounces. Typical serving size for peanut butter, 2 tablespoons, unless you slather. I slather. This means every 2 tablespoon peanut butter would only have about 8 insect fragments and a teensy bit of rodent hair. Unfortunately, jelly and jam are not as controlled. Apple butter can contain, on average, 4 or more rodent hairs for every 3.5 ounces and about 5 whole insects. Oh, that isn't counting the unknown numbers of teensy mites, aphids, and thrips. Apple butter can also contain up to 12% mold, which is better than cherry jam, which can be 30% moldy, or blackcurrant jam, which can be 75% moldy. The FDA only allows an average 2 maggots in a 16-ounce can of tomato sauce. Adding mushrooms to your spaghetti sauce or pizza, every 4-ounce can of mushrooms, there can be an average of 20 or more maggots of any size. The sweet corn we love is allowed to have 2 or more larvae in the corn of ear, as long as the larvae fragments and the skins worms discard as they grow. For every 1/4 cup of cornmeal, the FDA allows an average of 1 or more whole insects, 2 or more rodent hairs, and 50 or more insect fragments, and 1 or more fragments of rodent dung. Asparagus can contain 40 or more scary teensy thrips for every 1/4 pound. If those aren't around, FDA inspectors look for beetle eggs, the entire insect's heads or body parts. Frozen or canned spinach is allowed to have an average of 50 aphids, thrips, and mites. If those are missing, the FDA allows a lot of spinach worms or 8 whole leaf minor bugs. Dismembered insects can be found in spices as well. Crushed oregano, for example, can contain 30 or more insect bits and about 2 rodent hairs for every 10 grams. To put that in context, an average family-sized bottle of oregano is 18 ounces or 510 grams. Paprika can have up to 20% mold, 75 insect parts, and 11 rodent hairs for every 25 grams, just under 1 ounce. A typical spice jar holds 2 to 3 ounces. So a spice jar that's 2 to 3 ounces can have 22 to 33 rodent hairs in each one. Terry Taylor, wow, I'm never eating again. I mean, yeah, Nick Rich, just imagine how much unknown things consumed over the course of your life. Yes, I'm sure we've eaten a lot of things that maybe we wish we hadn't. Going back to a potentially liberal Dan After Dark joke. Let's see, what else? Breakfast. Coffee beans can have an average of 4 to 10 milligrams of or more of edible poop, unless it's maybe that one coffee bean that's, like, actually made because the monkeys eat them, and then they pooped out the beans, and then they use the pooped out monkey beans to make coffee. I'm serious. If you haven't heard of that, it's an actual thing. It doesn't actually say what the sprinkling of rodent hair is that is allowed for a chocolate bar, but I'm going with 4 or 5 is clearly a sprinkling. Robin M., clearly FDA needs more investigators so that we can have safer food. Well, either that, or maybe the reality is that if you happen to ingest these little itty bitty bits of things, it's not enough to get you sick, potentially. And maybe that's why. Maybe that's why they don't worry about the absolute minutia, and they're worried about the big things, like, you know, well, they're not even worried about the big things. Like, people will still eat Blue Bell ice cream, despite the fact that they had knowingly sent out Listeria-laced ice cream to people, and people died because of their decision. And for some reason, Blue Bell is allowed to continue to operate as a company, and for some reason, people will still eat Blue Bell. I don't. I don't eat Blue Bell because I refuse to eat that crap. You put free Blue Bell ice cream in front of me, I'll be like, no, thank you. I eat that BS because who knows what Listeria or other illness-bearing gross stuff might be in there right now because they killed people. Stephen Sayers, it's pretty expensive from what I've heard, the monkey poop coffee. You know, let's look that up. Monkey poop coffee. You just search up monkey poop coffee. Let's see. Here's on Amazon. Holy crap. That is expensive. Let's pop this open. Come on. Stupid thing. Not opening right. Try to see what this weighs. Let's see. Kaya Kopi. Let's see. Amazon.com. Humans, ew, dogs. Oh, I'll eat it. Yeah. No, not Blue Bunny ice cream. Blue Bell ice cream. There's a difference between Blue Bunny and Blue Bell. Blue Bunny, as far as I know, is fine. Blue Bell is not. I'm sure it's fine now, but I won't eat it anyway because I don't trust the bastards. See, premium Kaya Kopi pea berry blend from Vietnam, Indonesia, and Colombia, $24, $2 an ounce. I saw a more expensive one earlier when I clicked on it. Unless that's not the one unless these are not the droids I'm looking for. How much does a cup of Kopi Luwak cost? Between $20 and $100 a cup. Cost of wild Kopi Luwak fluctuates between $20 and $100 per cup. And even for farmed Kopi Luwak, the price is between $10 and $50. For those who want to buy Kopi Luwak and buy the bag, wild Kopi Luwak may cost significantly more since it tastes better and is an ethical alternative to farmed Kopi Luwak. Understanding the price of it. Poop coffee, the story of Kopi Luwak coffee. Trends in the food world can change faster than the minds of temperamental two-year-olds. It can be hard to keep up with the latest and greatest trends, let alone which ones are truly worth your time. One of the recent trends has taken over the internet, from YouTubers trying to get views through movie fans of the bucket list to culinary magazines with fancy taste, is Kopi Luwak coffee, otherwise known as, this is cat poop off coffee. There's certainly many coffee options these days, but there's nothing like the experience behind the story behind the Kopi Luwak coffee. There are lots of urban legends surrounding this cup of coffee. Trying to figure out the truth can be overwhelming. What is Kopi Luwak? It's a type of specialty coffee that comes from Indonesia, has spread to other Southeast Asian countries, despite recently trending from the Western world. It's historically been a beverage of those living in the Far East. Coffee beans are actually not beans at all. They're seeds that are inside cherry-like fruits. To harvest the beans from the coffee cherries, the fruit is first washed away from the beans, thus leaving the bright green seed behind. Often in areas where there are water shortages, such as Africa, deep washing using large amounts of water is not practical. In such cases, the traditional method of extracting seeds involves setting the coffee cherries out in the sun and allowing the fruit to dry and slowly rot the fruit off. Both methods of extracting the beans use a form of fermentation. Not unlike the primary methods of preparing coffee, Kopi Luwak is fermented coffee, but instead of fermenting in a vat of water or in the sun, it's fermented inside the bowels of a civet cat. The coffee cherries are digested by civet cats as they move through their stomachs and digestive tracts, getting more flavorful as they go. Then as they move through the bowel system of the civet, the cherry slowly breaks down around the bean, imparting its flavor onto it. Eventually, the civet cat passes the cherries and they're harvested and prepared for consumption. It is important to note that the resultant flavor is primarily due to digestive enzymes and the process of cherry breaking down, not due to the act of the civet cat passing the beans. Process is quite time intensive and demands on a lot of materials to occur. That's why it costs a lot. So I guess it's not monkey. I guess it's a civet cat. So there you go. But there maybe there's other examples of ones where it is monkeys and not the cat. So Nick Rich, I prefer tea anyway. Same, my brother. Same. I also prefer tea. Not because of the cat poop thing, but just because of the fact that I've never found a form of coffee that I like that is, you know, I've tried adding things. I've tried black. I've tried sugar. I've tried cream and sugar. I've tried flavors. Nothing coffee-wise makes me happy. I just can't. And there are some times where I wish I would, simply because of the fact that I wish I could eat it or drink it, because there are times when I'm just tired and could just use the bump. So instead, I'll just have tea. Tea would be hopefully it's caffeinated tea, and I'll drink that with lots of sugar and make it very sweet and delicious and fattening. And there you go. That's how I stay up with the sugar rush and any that might be coming in from the that might be coming in that way. Anyway, so let's see. What about instant coffee? I don't like instant coffee. If that was the question, I got distracted by the instant coffee question. Is it instant coffee? I guess the only way to get instant of the cat poop coffee is if you give him some X-Lax. It's like, hey, I want this coffee to come out this cat faster. So how about we wrap the coffee beans in X-Lax and have them eat the whole thing? Therefore, they'll just poop them out that much quicker, that much more quickly, right? Let's see. I could have had somebody calling. I wouldn't have known because, you know, I wasn't looking at my call screen page or the whatever. Anyway, show reset, Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left. That's right. Monday, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Central here on YouTube. LiberalDanRadio.com is the link to the YouTube channel. You could also go to Liberal Dan Radio on Twitch, twitch.tv/LiberalDanRadio. You can watch me there as well. If you have Amazon Prime, you can subscribe to my Twitch channel for free. It helps me out. It costs nothing. Otherwise, you can just follow it for free. You can pay for subscriptions. You can pay for other people's subscriptions on YouTube. You can buy a membership. You can gift a membership. You can buy super chats and super stickers and all that fun stuff. Twitch, you can also get BIFs. There's no real free option for YouTube, except for the fact that if you get like Google Rewards, if you download Google Rewards and answer their little surveys, you might actually earn enough to where you can subscribe to somebody or pay for something or pay for bits. And that's also a way to get things for free. I've paid for over $300 worth of stuff with my Google Rewards one. I should share how to do that one day, maybe a technical show on how to do all the things you can do to support me and other creators for free. Maybe that's one of the things. Stephen Ferris, cat lax, yes. You could also, but one of the most important things is also liking the video on YouTube, subscribing to the channel on YouTube. We're trying to get up to 1,000 subs so that when we get there, we'll have the right number of views, and I'll be able to hit the right number, to become an affiliate. Let's just go to just check out where we are at the moment with all of that fun stuff, just to see, because I'm curious. I haven't checked in a few days, so might as well check now since we're talking about it. Steven Sayers, thank you very much for the super chat. Appreciate you, or the super sticker. Appreciate you for that. What did Robin say? I roast my own coffee beans. I know they're not from animals' bowels. That is one way to do it, right? Let's see. Important notifications. Video cannot be monetized. Liberal Dan Radio Super Tuesday 2024 review cannot be monetized due to why? Due to one or more copyright claims. Is not a copyright strike. Does it affect your channel? That's fine. I don't care because I don't need to be monetized because I'm not monetized yet when it comes to that. I can't get that yet. But I'm currently at 947, which means I need 53 more subscribers. And in the past 365 days, my watch time is actually at 4,000, according to this. So I've actually, according to this, I've hit the numbers. What does the other page say, though? Because sometimes that page is a little more, whatchamacallit. According to the actual page here, we're at 3,871 watch hours. So I'm still 129 watch hours shy. But I still also need 53 more subscribers to get to the next level of affiliation. But we're still an affiliate with YouTube or whatever. We're still monetized. We're still a YouTube partner. I can get the memberships and the super chats and super stickers. Hey, Cynthia, what's going on? Good to see you. Kelly, I do wonder who decided to make cat poo coffee and why. Maybe they just realized that, hey, this is a way we can get the stuff off without having to do much work. I don't know. But I always wondered that about a whole lot of food. Who looked at it like this rock looking thing down on the beach or underwater and was like, I'm going to open that. I'm going to see if I can open it. And then they open it and then they see this thing of snot, i.e. the oyster. And they're like, oh, I'm going to eat that now. Like I would have never, who would think to do that? I wouldn't think to do that. Craziness. I got a copyright claim for the Nerd Hanlon live stream I did last night, but I figured you probably would. Yeah, it's probably sounds right that you would get a copyright stream off of somebody covering Van Halen. Anyway, I think this might very well be our new friend. Good evening. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good. What's going on? What you want to talk about?
Not much. This is Nas, man.
What's going on? This is the old friend, my old Atlanta friend. How's it been, man?
Yeah.
How have you been doing?
Everything is cool, man. Were you waiting on like a special interview you were doing or somebody to call?
No, we're good. I'm just usually I don't randomly pick up the phone, but I know I have two Atlanta numbers that may very well be, you know, people who are friendly, and you're one of them, so that's why I take a shot and picked up with you. Otherwise, I usually ask people to say on YouTube, hey, this is my area code, this is where I'm calling from, but I gave you a shot. I figured it was either you or the other guy, so it's you. So, hey, good to hear from you again. How have you been?
Same, brother. No, good, man, good. How you been?
I'm hanging in there. We're making some strides with the podcast. It's, you know, we got the affiliate going on Twitch. We got Reach Partner on YouTube, so we're getting there. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting there, and it's much closer than it was before. So,
indeed. So now that we did the pleasantries,
yeah.
Come on, man, Liberal Dan, we got to talk about the bloodshed quote. Like, this
oh, we did.
Is
we
one
we
of
talked
the
about that earlier. We did, but we can talk about it again. Come on.
Yeah, dude, this is one of the great like flashpoints in U.S. media and social media connecting. Like, this is where everything, the car crash goes insane.
Right.
So you've got the people on the right who all day have been talking about context and the media, and see, this is why the media always lies. They never give Trump a fair shake. And, you know, the usual stuff we get from the right.
Right.
And then you got people on the left saying, okay, isn't it irresponsible for him to use that language at this moment? Knowing his past, knowing what people say about him, like, why would he use that language? And then the thing that's not being discussed is this man is still stuck in like the late 80s, early 90s. He's talking about car wars,
yeah,
between us and China and using Mexico as the problem. Like,
right. Well, his supporters are never going to question it. His supporters, he can say that China is building a 17-story high car manufacturing plant that's going to replace every car in America, and his supporters will be like, oh, that's true. We need to do something about that ban. you know, they're not going to question him. He can say whatever the hell he wants, and they'll just blindly follow him like lemmings.
Yeah, because only he can stop it, right? Because he gets
right.
in and he gets on the phone and he says, oh, I guess I got to back down. 045
yeah.
back.
Well, they didn't back down before. Why is he going to back down now? He knows that Trump answers to Putin, so he's be more worried about, I'll check with Putin. Is it okay? Yes. Okay, fine. Trump can't do anything. Putin says it's okay.
And then I remember you were in Louisiana. I don't know if you still are.
I am still,
so,
yeah.
The laws that are being passed there, like, we've seen tough on crime periods in American history, like, throughout. Like, that always happens. Something
right.
happens, and you get this flashpoint of people wanting tough on crime stuff. This thing in Louisiana, man, this is like nothing I've ever seen. Like, this is worse than the 90s crime.
Oh, like I predicted it. I even predicted a lot of it, simply because of the fact that as soon as we got a supermajority in both of the legislative houses, and as soon as we got Governor Landry, you know, who was pure on MAGA filth, you know, as soon as, like, and he rode, like, he didn't need to have a special session to be tough on crime. Like, that was just money spent by him and the Republican legislature to have their little day in the sun, because the way Louisiana does legislative sessions is weird. Like, in even years, you do non-tax laws, and in odd years, you do tax laws, you do financial bills or whatever. So, like, they can't do anything, like, tax-related this year for some reason, unless they, I guess, maybe held a special session. But the next year, they can't do anything but tax laws or revenue themed laws or whatever, but they could have done everything that they wanted to do in this current session that's going on right now, but they didn't because they wanted to make a spectacle of the whole tough on crime thing. But, and I said, as soon as he was elected on, you know, when we were going over the Louisiana election returns, I was like, in Louisiana, we are going to see, we are going to set the example of what pure Republican rule looks like in a lower level, in a smaller level. We're going to see exactly what pure Republican rule looks like. And basically it's like, see what everybody in Louisiana is doing? Don't do that. Now, we're going to suffer
right.
here in Louisiana because of it. Now, I might not suffer as much as some other individuals that suffer because, you know, I have white skin, so therefore I'm less likely to be harmed by the tough on crime laws. But we had situations like we had a governor last time who was very conservative. He might have even been Republican if he was up north. You know, he passed the horrible anti-abortion legislation, or he signed it into law. He did make sure that it was worded slightly differently to protect things like the morning after pill. But still, it was still hard. It's still horribly written. It still uses the horribly vague language that Texas uses, that where people are denied abortions because they're afraid they're going to lose their license or go to jail if they claim it's life-saving or whatever. But at least when he was in charge, like, the houses, like, the parties still kind of worked together with him to get things done. They passed something that would allow for more children to actually have to go, you know, into children's prison if they commit crimes instead of being charged automatically as adults. You have, and they completely undid that, even though there was no need to, because you still had a thing in the Louisiana law that said, you know, if the district attorney, if the prosecuting attorney feels that it the case warrants a trial as an adult, they can still push to have the person, especially like a 17-year-old, tried as an adult if they do something that is significantly bad enough to justify or warrant it. But no, that wasn't good enough for Landry. Landry needed to make an example, and he needed to show, oh, I'm tough on crime, and I'm gonna do all these stuff. I mean, they're removing parole possibilities for people. They're making it harder for people to question their imprisonment. I'm going to flat out say that a lot of the stuff that they're doing should be considered unconstitutional when it comes to stuff like that, with the paroles and the inability to challenge or limitations on challenging your convictions. However, you would have to have a Supreme Court that would be actually willing to do anything about it. And I don't trust this Supreme Court to do anything about that because they're terrible. Now, You know, even when you had Scalia on the court, Scalia would still mostly come down against overly intrusive or overly harsh sentencing things that made people lose their rights to challenge their time, as opposed to Thomas, who has no problem with people getting sent up river as long as it's not him and his wife or Trump.
Well, as long as the check clears from Harlan, he's okay.
Exactly. As long as he gets that, check clear, or the flight, or the RV, or you know his mom's what rent paid for, or whatever it is. As long as everything else is taken care of, they have no problem with it. But yeah, we are going to be just the pure example of how Republicans harm people a lot. And you're going to see that over the next 4 years, that Louisiana is going to suck for a whole lot of people, and it's and things that we fixed, like we fixed that whole thing of actually making it better for younger people accused of crimes for them to not be forced into adult prisons. Now we want to force them into adult prisons, which makes their recidivism rates go up more. And they don't understand that. They don't care. They might understand it. They just don't care about it. Because they, as long as they can vilify a certain group of people or multiple groups of people, they're going to do that. And these laws specifically seem to want to target mostly Louisiana's black citizens. And we already had at one time the highest incarceration rate per capita on the planet in Louisiana. And I'm sure we're going to probably now far surpass that simply because of the fact that we have a so-called tough-on-crime governor who wants to make a name for himself in the entirety of MAGA politics. And yeah, a lot of people are going to be hurting. And unfortunately, those people will have to hurt to show everybody else in the nation. This is what happens when you go full Republican. To paraphrase Tropic Thunder, never go full Republican.
Big fact. Yeah, so it's a never-ending bureaucracy. The people who are going to slip through the cracks of it won't have the ability, especially monetarily, to hire adequate counsel to fight through all of the paperwork that's going to be thrown at them. So the idea of getting rid of parole already, this is going to be dangerous. And I think the other thing would be to look into how much they're going to monetize this as far as private industry and using prisoner labor and just turning this into basically a Jim Crow snuff film. Like this is going to be really terrible. I know you got a lot of callers and a lot of subjects to tackle, but
I haven't heard from you forever. You have a lot of time saved up. You can keep talking. We're good.
Oh, okay. Another thing I wanted to get to, I don't think we discuss this enough on the left especially, and of course on the right because it's typically weaponized, but I guess you could say this is kind of a problem from the Thatcher-Reagan era where all of a sudden we decided public money was taxpayer money, and we ascribe all kinds of different things to it to where people are all of a sudden looking at the taxes as if it's an itemized restaurant bill or something. Well, I didn't want to pay for that, or I didn't want to pay for this.
Right.
But we've gotten rid of the concept of public money. Because if you put it in those terms, people start to understand, oh, wait a minute, public money should be used for infrastructure in my state. Yeah, I agree with that. That's a good idea. Or, you know, any other issue that most people agree on, even if some of these issues you can even take to Republicans and Democrats, especially healthcare. But if we start having these conversations in that way, I think it can open up some eyes. Now, of course, I'm not talking about all of the people who have pledged themselves to MAGA and have decided they're going to, you know, roll with whatever. But there's enough, even independents in that sense, to where that conversation, I think, can open up. It can give us a lot of room.
I think so. I think there are some doors or windows that might be open for Biden to try and get those people, and it's a little dance that he has to play, because if he panders too much to like the Nikki Haley voters or the Never Trump Republicans to try and form that coalition, how many of the leftists do you lose? If you've already lost them already because of how he hasn't been vocally harsh enough in their minds against Netanyahu and how he hasn't, you know, with the whole, you know, how Netanyahu, I mean, I've been critical of Netanyahu on this show for well before 10/7, but again, there are people who are just, I have one of my, on YouTube, I have one of my fat man rants that I made pertaining to that whole issue, because the people are like, I think we can deal with short-term pain of having Biden lose his job to make a point. And I'm like, if you think it's going to be short-term pain by electing Trump, you lack imagination, because it's going to be long-term pain under Trump. There's the amount of people that are going to be harmed worldwide by another Trump presidency is probably not countable at this point. But it's, you know, I don't want any other Palestinian people to die. But if Trump gets in there, you're going to see more Ukrainians die. You could see more members of NATO die. You could see the dismantling of NATO. There's so many more things that could happen bad that people need to stop being myopic about this thing and need to start being a little more realistic about the harm that is done by each, by whoever gets elected in the office. And unfortunately,
no. I think that's a great point. I think the issue is older leftists. I've kind of approached this from the standpoint of, we think this is unacceptable from Biden, and we're going to criticize Biden, but it doesn't mean in the ballot box we're not going to show up or we're going to vote for the other side. It means there has to be some type of pressure put on him in order to do the right thing, which I think is reasonable. But the problem becomes when we're as dependent as we are on young folks showing up, Biden has to do a little more for those folks, because young folks, like you said, are more likely to take that stance of, well, I'll stay home if that's the case. Hell, we remember year 2000. Shout out to Ralph. Good old Ralph Nader.
Good old Ralph. Ralph Nader, yeah. But I mean, even then,
but he did way more harm.
Biden, yeah, I have another video on that, too, where Biden has done wonders when it comes to student debt. I mean, he's done, even with the activist conservative Supreme Court striking down the $10,000 to $20,000 thing, he's done so much good when it comes to student loans that people should realize that. I don't think they've talked about it enough. I don't think the Biden administration has talked about it enough. I don't think the Biden campaign has talked about it enough. I don't think the pundits have spoken about the stuff that he's done with student loans. And that's not just because of the fact that the SAVE plan that he put forward to replace the other income-based repayments is saving me and my family like $250 a month for the duration of my loans. And that's about $30,000 that the Biden administration has saved me off the top simply by making a change to my loan repayment plan. And
which is real, real politics, material gains actually being provided to the citizen who understands, like, okay, I voted this way and it turned out with this outcome. That's
right.
Something people can get behind. Now, the other thing we got to talk about is Trump and his people are a little sneaky. The things people aren't talking about are what happens if he takes Truth Social public, sells it off, and uses that to pay back a lot of these financial obligations he's going to have going forward. I don't know what happens if that goes down, because you know the deal is going to be dirty as sin, but
there's
a possibility where he can raise a lot of funds with it. Then the second part would be, we saw Trump reverse field today on TikTok, because he saw young people were really upset. Social media pointed one way. So, of course, Trump pivoted, and now he's rolling with the idea, well, they shouldn't get rid of TikTok. And he's going to try to frame this as a Biden issue and a Democrat issue, that the Dems want to take your TikTok out of your hands. So this is a
direct
targeting
of young voters. Even though it was a hugely bipartisan bill passed by both people on both sides of the aisle in the House, you know, both people. I mean, you know, I'm more worried about other things than who's, you know, people aren't worried about the government looking at their own data, but they're now worried about China looking at their data. You know, it's like, you know, people are like, oh, who gets to look at your data? Facebook gets to look at you. Am I that happier? Am I that much happier that Zuckerberg gets access to my data? No. Like, you know, it's not a great thing that any corporation gets to look at the data. But there was a Democrat on the news. I want to say, who was
Ro,
it? I think
was
it
Ro Khanna?
Yes, it was Ro Khanna. exactly who I was talking about. The one who was basically saying, like, we could have gone about this a whole completely different way, in a much smarter way, that didn't specifically target TikTok, that protected people's information, that did everything that you wanted to do, specifically targeting one particular thing. But yeah, as you said, Donald Trump's social media company Truth Social has received U.S. regulatory approval to go public by merging with a blank check company called Digital World Acquisition Corp. This is a giant step forward for the beleaguered deal, but comes one day after a giant step backwards. Digital World Acquisition Corp, or DWAC, disclosed that the U.S. SEC signed off on its registration statement and that soon it will announce shareholder vote date. Shares rose 15% in the news, giving DWAC a market cap of $1.86 million. DWAC disclosed earlier in the week that former CEO and director Patrick Orlando has an expressed desire for additional compensation, which we believe presents a risk to our ability to consummate the Truth Social merger on a timely basis, or if at all. Orlando owns 14.8% of DWAC outstanding shares and holds a controlling interest in its founder shares. Were he to oppose the merger or even just object to amendments, he could possibly scuffle the deal. So there you go. So that's Axios's reporting. But yeah, Truth Social could go public with the merger there, and the SEC has allowed it, and that's more money that could go in his pocket that would potentially be, I don't know if it would be like, I don't know how much of it would be cash and how much it would be stock. If it's stock, it's not liquid, but if it's stock, that then becomes an asset that he can borrow against that's not encumbered by anything else. So that could help him out in his attempts to, avoid having to just pay out all the money or to have to liquidate other things like, you know, Trump Tower or any other properties that he doesn't want to have to lose because he's a dumbass who can't shut up about grabbing people by the hoo-ha and or other things.
Oh, he's the greatest person to ever shoot himself in the foot. Like, he is so accurate at shooting himself in the foot. Like, it's amazing. Now,
right.
The other part that we're kind of missing is the RNC situation. So you come into the RNC, you bring your daughter-in-law on as co-chair to run it, and the idea was you're going to get rid of all of this negative weight. You're going to get rid of all of that, get it slim, trim, and, of course, raid the treasury of it for everything you can, to hell with the down-ballot elections and everything else. But the other thing, and I don't think enough Republicans are talking about this, institutional competence is something that is very important in any corporation or organization. And the moment you lose it is when you fully understand what happened. That old guy who could tell you chapter and verse all of the different rules that are in play for different, you know, ballot races and different things that, you know, party can do. When you get rid of that guy and you've got a young guy in there looking up Wikipedia for trying to figure out what's what, or Laura Trump as the final call on what checks get written, dude, you are headed for a disaster. And I don't think enough Republicans are talking about that, even the Never Trumpers.
I'm kind of glad that they're not talking about it, because the less they realize it, the better it is for us. Because if they don't realize just how screwed they are, sometimes when the Democratic or left-leaning, liberal-leaning pundits are on like MSNBC or whatever, and they start talking about the lack of money or how Trump is going to take away all the money, I'm just like, shh, don't tell them. Let them learn about it after the fact, so that, you know, it hurts them even more in the election, because, you know, that the more money that the GOP spends on Trump and his defense and everything, the less money they have again to worry about down ballot race. Now, I think the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee and then the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee, I think those may have their own fundraising arms, but I'm sure they're at least loosely, if not tightly, connected to the GOP, and they may very well still suffer if Trump, now that Trump has his way and he has people in charge running it who are going to funnel the money directly into his legal war chest instead of campaign war chest.
Yeah. And I don't know if most Republicans understand that this is MAGA's last stand. Like, he has to win. Like, not
right.
only did you just carve out the GOP and make it a Trump affiliate, but if you don't win this election, you lose other elections based on how much of your resources you push towards this guy and how much of your fan base is disgruntled people who don't believe government can work anyway.
Right.
And if you spend 4 years telling people that everything was rigged and you lost because they cheated, what's the point where somebody decides, oh, there's 30 minutes in this line for this election, I'm going home, or that line is out the door, I'm going home? If these people do not believe in elections, what makes you think they're going to stay the course during voting time? And
there are a lot of people who are like in Florida.
One of the most underrated things of so-called stop the steal. Oh, go ahead.
In Florida, they utilize mail-in voting a lot, especially for older Republican elderly folks. And I know there are a lot of people in Florida that were just like, you know, stop picking on early voting too much. Stop picking on mail-in voting too much. This is our bread and butter. This is how we've managed to win. You're ruining it for us. And I remember going to Florida. I want to say it was maybe in 2022, like right before the midterms or whatever. And I think it was like in October of 2022. And there were signs all over the highways talking about how important it was for you to mail in your mail-in ballot. I'm like, oh, what happened to mail-in ballots being a bad thing? I'm like, I guess it's not a bad thing in Florida when you're a conservative state. They don't like mail-in ballots coming from in other states that they want to be able to take from the Democrats. But, you know, because conservatives or hypocrisy is a conservative prerequisite, as we all know. but every single time
man.
I pass one of those signs on the highway, because we drove, like normally we just drive to Orlando, but this time we drove past it and we stayed on the coast. And we did go to Orlando for, you know, a day or two just to go check out Epcot. But yeah, every single time I saw one of the signs, mail in your mail-in vote, I'm just like shaking my head, like, come on, man. You can't be this tone deaf. I'm like, well, yes, they can. It's DeSantis. Am I kidding?
Yeah. And the ability to tell people that, well, I was winning the election before the mail-in ballots were counted. Like, the fact that you can tell people that and they say, yeah, he's right, instead
yeah.
of, no, that means you were going to lose anyway. That means
right.
that once
stop counting, stop counting. Well, yeah, you want to stop counting because you're losing. Now, then you lost Georgia. Now you want him to find more votes to count again. Like, you know.
Oh,
ridiculous.
And dude, that thing – that's one of the most fascinating things we're probably going to see. We're going to be able to tell grandchildren about that one. Just because after, you know, Trump's legal team did what they're supposed to do, supposed to pull on as many threads as you can, try to find something. So they found something within the relationship, but now that he's gone and Fannie's back in,
right.
the case boils down to, like you said, just you using the bully pulpit of the President of the United States office on a subordinate to try to intimidate them. And there's no way of getting around that.
And the fact that one worker just stayed on the line, put herself on mute, and just recorded the whole thing is just, you know, bless her. Thank you, hero, for doing that to make sure that we had the call on recording. But, yeah, I mean, I was sitting there watching the Fani Willis hearings for a little bit because I work from home, and so I could have on the news, and I'm just sitting there and just like, it was just a train wreck. Like, the attorneys are just so angry and just yelling at everybody in the courtroom to try and get them to say what they want them to say, and they're like, I'm not going to say it. I'm not saying this thing, you know? No.
I think everybody knows history is on the line, and how they perform is going to be covered, so I think that pressure was there. I think the strategy from Fannie's side was to be combative and aggressive,
right?
Which seemed to have worked out. The only problem she had was the idea of her giving somebody cash. That's the only thing that looked
right.
ugly for her. But Wade, you know, Wade, the former judge, been a lawyer for like 25 years. This idea that he was this inexperienced guy who she only brought on because they had a relationship, like, that was insane. Like, But that was the argument that was presented, and
right.
the both sides media said, yeah, this is what happened. So at a certain point, it became Fannie on trial instead of Trump on trial. So, yeah, that was a lot. And I'm down here in Georgia, man, so you already
right.
know how this is playing out. Atlanta
oh, I know.
Is blue as can be, and you get to rural South Georgia. That's where it gets as red as can be, you know, Taylor Green territory. It gets kind
oh,
of
yeah.
different, but.
I mean, my when I, last time I was there was in 21. No, actually, we were there more recently than that for a concert. But we evacuated for Ida in 2021, and my mom lives in Milledgeville, Georgia. Mm. And then it was just so stressful of a situation that my wife was like, let's go up to Atlanta for a couple. You know, we kept on going back up to Atlanta, the hour drive to Atlanta, just to escape the ridiculousness that was staying at my mom's house. But, yeah, I mean, it is like night and day. I mean, just like New Orleans. New Orleans is a solidly blue, you know, city in a sea of just pure MAGA evil. And, like, I was thinking to myself the other day, like, how would, like you can't really have, like, a civil war anymore. You know, you can't really have, like, a split because the country's not really split on state lines on the, because there are strong blue pockets in all these other areas. Like, what would you do? Like if Louisiana were to be like, we're tired of being America again, let's secede again. What does New Orleans just say? Well, we're not. You know, it's not like Louisiana's going to want to let go of the port. So
and in 2024, like these whole Confederate dreams and secession ideas, I don't think these people understand how isolated they would be. Not only would you not be able to trade with anybody, you would have an embargo on you. You would be surrounded. Nothing would go in or out. You would be essentially starved of all outside resources and destroyed because this is not an American thing. This is an anywhere in the world thing. Nobody's
right.
letting you succeed from a nation and create your own. Like, no, that's not how that works. And any civil war is bloody as hell, but you're definitely not going to win as some kind of isolated small fringe group. You're going to be Waco, Texas, is what you're going to be. But,
pretty much.
Yeah, I'm shocked that these people are still throwing this stuff up and talking about constitutional conventions and all the other raggedy right-wing, you know, tropes we've read and seen online over the years. And, you know, it's just amazing how many people claim to be such patriots but hate their government to their very soul.
Yeah.
And it's a very American thing. I do not get it.
There are lots of things that we do in this country that I don't get, especially when it comes to the conservative type folks and their crazy ideas on how to, you know, well, they might be like, government's terrible. Elect us and we'll show you exactly how terrible it is. Cause...
Well, Dan, I'm going to hang back and listen to the rest of your show, but the only thing I'm going to end with is this. The public money I made before, anybody who's watching or listening to this, the phone in your hand, the GPS that was created by the Navy to figure out where they were on the sea or in the ocean.
Right.
The touchscreen that was created by the Air Force, the technology needed there. It was an investment from there. Like all of these different tech that we've seen over the past 40 years,
it's
this
government.
Stuff is created by public money, so-called taxpayer dollars. That is where these things come from, and corporations can later make money off them, but it's the initial invention and the R&D, everything that's necessary to create these things, that's your U.S. government. So maybe you should thank the government a little bit and stop being so angry and telling people that the government is the cause of all of your problems. No, Reagan was wrong. The government wasn't the cause of your problems. The cause of most of your problems are the people who hate the government. But
right.
out in there, and Dan, good show as always, dude. I'm going to hang
Thank
back
you so
and
much.
See you, man.
Look, you know, call in more often. Love to have you calling in the show. Appreciate you.
Will do, man. Peace.
All right, have a good one, man. It's interesting. One thing I forgot, I was going to ask him if he's ever been to Bantam and Biddy in Atlanta. There's two restaurants there that we love to go there simply because of the fact that my wife has celiac and they very well cater to people with celiac. Not everything is for celiac people at the restaurant, but they do a very good job. They have actually have a sandwich there called the Royale with cheese, and it's not the quarter pounder with cheese just from another country, like from Pulp Fiction, but they do call it the Royale with cheese, and it's like it's bacon and like their chicken tenders with like a pimento cheese spread on a freshly made biscuit. Oh, it's so freaking good. Like, it's hard to not get that every time I go because it's so good. But on the other side of the coin, for the gluten-free stuff, my wife can have the chicken tenders because the chicken tenders are made to be gluten-free. And there are many of the other sides are clearly marked gluten-free. And I wish this restaurant was more places because it makes things so much better for my wife when we go. Now, we also went, what was it, last July, was it? I think we went last July. Or the end of July, I think. It had to have been the end of July because we were there July 29th. We were there for my mom's birthday, even though we didn't get to meet up with my mom because of issues. I can talk about that another day, I guess. But we went to go see a Goo Goo Dolls concert. We saw Bento and Biddy. There's a couple other places that are good to eat for gluten free stuff or whatever. It's been a good time. Every time I want to say. That towards the end of June or maybe mid-June, that's when the Sexy Liberal show is Sexy Liberal Podcast Tour is going to Atlanta. Maybe it could be later on in the month. I don't know. I may have to look at it. I mean, if I would not go like to Dallas or whatever to go see a bunch of the clan that's of the Sparklers that are there, I may very well, would be able to convince my wife to make a trip to go to that. And then so we can go to Bantam and Biddy because Bantam and Biddy is such a good restaurant. It's so good for her. That I'm like, they need to open one in New Orleans because normally people in New Orleans are like chain restaurants, but if they were to bring that one here, like everybody who had celiac would be like, and would keep them in business because they're just amazing, and they give you stuff to eat that if you're not celiac that you can enjoy. So, if their cell phones were created by an Iranian, Wi-Fi was created by Hedy Lamarr. The actress also came up with, I think, the Wi-Fi mechanism. I want to say that's correct. If it's not Wi-Fi, it's something else. But, yeah, I think it was something involved with submarine stuff, and it also it got converted into technology. Let's see, Hedy Lamarr, Wi-Fi. Let's see if I'm right. Let's see. Yeah, frequency hopping. Is what Hedy Lamarr came up with. Hedy Lamarr, the incredible mind behind secure Wi-Fi. So for all those people who want to say that, like all those like, horrible videos that I do reaction videos on that you can't hear on Blog Talk Radio, but I'm not doing that. They'll say that, men and women are different. Women don't like technology. Here's Hedy Lamarr, an actress who was behind secure Wi-Fi, GPS, and Bluetooth. Brains of people are most interesting to look. Hollywood actress and inventor Hedy Lamarr said in 1910, years before she passed. Striking movie star may be most well-known for her roles in Algiers and Samson and Delilah, but it's her technical mind that is her greatest legacy. According to a new documentary on her life, Bombshell, The Hedy Lamarr Story, film chronicles the patent that Lamarr filed for frequency hopping technology in 1941, that became a precursor to the secure Wi-Fi, GPS, and Bluetooth now used by billions of people around the world. So thank Hedy Lamarr for coming up with what we now use for Wi-Fi. Of course, every time I hear Hedy Lamarr, I think of the Blazing Saddles line, and where Harvey Korman's like, Hedley, and he's like, what are you worried about? This is the 1860s. You can sue her. So... Can't give me a Tedley. Do you know who could play Trump's Bond? Taylor Swift. Maybe. Is she that liquid? Is she liquid enough to play Trump's Bond? I mean, she won't. But although it'd be funny if Taylor Swift's like, look, I'll pay your bond if you go the F away and never come back. That would be amazing if she made that offer just to see him flinch. Be like, I can't do that, but I want to. So badly. I'm surprised he hasn't fled the country yet, honestly. I mean, the only reason he won't flee the country is because he feels that he's so untouchable that he can't, that he doesn't feel like he's ever actually going to get reached. And it's funny, though, that whatchamacallit, who used it? Yeah, Blazing Saddles, me too, haha, yeah. It's Hedy Lamarr. That's not Hedley. It's Hedy Lamarr. Hedy Lamarr was the one from Blazing Saddles. It's not Hedley, it's Hedy. So, she was actually born in Vienna, Austria. Died in Castleberry, Florida. See, Florida's to blame for lots of things. Hedy's idea came from a piano player role. It's amazing how interesting ideas come from the most bizarre of places. So Wi-Fi was created by the Australian government's CSIRO. Geron has some spare cash. But I mean, the actual Wi-Fi itself was created. It's just like Al Gore didn't create the internet, but Al Gore funded, you know, helped pass and support the legislation that helped turn like the ARPANET and the other precursors of the internet into what the internet is today, which is why Al Gore says, I created the internet, which of course then leads to my joke. Of course he created the internet because all code is based on an Al Gore rhythm, which is why I make the algorithm jokes all the time on the show and beat that dead horse, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, wow, I was not expecting to be still on the phone or still online at 10:20. Or 10:30, I didn't think the two topics that I thought up of were going to be enough to go all the way through 2.5 hours worth of show. But, you know, very limited amount of coughs, as you've seen, so it's good. I'm getting, clearly my chest is almost done of everything that might have been stuck in there, thank goodness. But, let's see, Ken, without her idea, torpedoes would have been less effective and would have missed a lot more. But yeah, so it's all very interesting. I think there was Timeless was a show that I was watching, and Timeless like delved into a lot of the interesting things that like people didn't know. Like they didn't make it like just about those things, but they around their stories, they would throw in things that people might not necessarily like they had one of the characters meet Hedy Lamarr. And the bad guys in the show were trying to go after Hedy Lamarr for their nefarious reasons and trying to get that. And then all of a sudden, here comes, you know, the good guys to save the day. But meanwhile, they get to meet Hedy Lamarr. And you learn, if you didn't know already, that Hedy Lamarr was partially responsible for, Wi-Fi in that, you know, reasons I stated before. They also talked about the actual Bass Reeves, the original, the guy that was the real Lone Ranger, so to speak. Like, you know, the Lone Ranger wasn't a white guy, it was a black guy. And they made him white for the TV shows because I'm sure in the black and white movies and TV shows, they wouldn't want a black hero back in that day, right? But there is now a show called Bass Reeves Lawman, Story of Bass Reeves, or whatever it is. It's a really good show. I watched the first season. Great, well done. But it showed you that, the original Lone Ranger was a black guy. It's not what you see in the movies and on TV shows or what have you. One of the other things funny about that show was they had to go see Wernher von Braun, who, you know, former Nazi rocket specialist who was then brought over to the United States to help with the United States rocket program and NASA and everything like that. And so Tom Lehrer, musician, if you've not heard of him, you should. He had a song about the Ballad of Wernher von Braun. And one of the lines from the show, from the song is, once the rockets come up, because there they come down, it's not my department, says Werner von Braun. But on the Timeless show, they actually had him making the comment, you know, once the rockets come up, who cares where they come down? They actually had him say that, and I was like, that's amazing that they actually broke the fourth wall and used the Tom Lehrer lyric in the show. I love whenever they bring up, like, Werner von Braun on any of the shows that I watch, and they manage to get in a Tom Lehrer reference. It's pretty genius. Robin, we missed out on all those sexy black cowboys that actually existed too. Yep. Steve, I watched Timeless. Oh, Steve, yeah, but it's not Scottish. It's crap. Nice. But yeah, Timeless is a great show, and it was one of the last shows that I thought I cursed. In reality, it was just that they don't put shows on TV in on network television with enough star power to maintain the audience to keep them watching the shows, and that's why shows would die. And like there was a show that got canceled like after the first half hour, I think, because the viewership just skyrocketed down like one of Werner von Braun's rockets, and the viewership didn't have the patience to wait for the big reveal that took place at like the 45th minute, and that's why the show got canceled. I'm like, come on, people! Like you really have this short attention span. You can't give a show a little bit, which is one of the great things. Going to my nerdy side, this is a Nerdy Dan segment of Liberal Dan Radio. NerdyDan.com Tuesdays, typically either 7 or 8 is when I start over on twitch.tv/NerdyDan.com if you want to join those times as well. I'm probably going to be playing a lot of Disney's Dreamlight Valley tomorrow because I have a lot of catching up to do on that. So it's less fighting around and more just me wandering around the map trying to level people up or whatever. QB, not Lily von Stupp. No, not Lily von Stupp. I'm tired. Been with thousands of men again and again. They promise the sun and the moon. They keep going and coming and coming and or coming and going and going and coming and often too soon. Anyway, so where is it going with all that? But yeah. But Thomas was one of the last ones that I think I kind of figured out that it wasn't me. It wasn't me that was the problem. It was the fact that they don't cast shows well enough to give or give, they don't give away like the big reveal immediately to suck the viewer in, or you need the star power to suck the viewer in to be able to basically keep him there for a long enough time. It's like the only show that was able to successfully do this well. That didn't have the existing, like maybe the star power on it, was Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which, to just go into that, you had so many people who were Marvel fans who were like, yes, let's watch this episodic Marvel show on TV. And so many people started watching it that there was people who were like, they were getting tired of it. They're like, oh, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And then all of a sudden this big reveal happens in the middle of the first season. And then all of the people are like, wait, what? And they all come rushing back to watch the show because the show had enough viewership from the beginning to make sure that the network wouldn't cancel it from the start. And it lasted a bunch of seasons. So, Trucker John, it's Nerd Halen, Nerdy Dan's favorite brand. Technically, Rush would be the band from Canada, not Limbaugh. I definitely like Hal, and I definitely want to see Nerd Halen. Maybe if I saw Nerd Halen in concert, maybe they would soon then become one of my top favorites. But, and one of the funny things, though, about the Timeless show before I end, because I'm probably going to end soon, is the main actor on Timeless, like I kept watching him, and I'm like, why does he sound so familiar? Why does he sound so familiar? And all of a sudden, I looked him up on IMDb, and I'm like, oh, he's the voice of Anakin Skywalker in The Clone Wars. So I'm like, oh, that's why he sounds familiar, because he's from a nerdy thing that I watch. So at least another nerdy thing that I watch, I should say. But I'm doing that on IMDb all the time. Like, I'm sitting there, I'm like looking, and I'm watching some movie that Cassie is watching, and this guy looks familiar, and I'm like, I want to say that this guy was on Days of Our Lives because I had an ex-girlfriend or whatever. They watched Days of Our Lives a bunch of times. So I was like, I want to say that this guy was on Days of Our Lives. And I looked it up, And he was. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I'm sitting there and I start watching The Rookie with Nathan Fillion, and I'm looking at this guy who's a cop on the show. I'm like, wait a second. Is this the same guy? And I went back to IMDb. I'm like, yes, that's the same guy who was just in that movie. Now he's in this TV show, and craziness. And then, like, that happens with a lot of other people, too, where I'm looking at some, this person's looks. I'm always checking IMDb because I think some guy person looks familiar or whatever. Ken QB, is this a Midwestern goodbye? I don't know what a Midwestern goodbye is. It's just me rambling until I decide to hit the show end button, the show end audio button. That's what this is. I don't know. Well, see, The Walking Dead were all unknowns, but The Walking Dead were not on broadcast television. The Walking Dead was on AMC. So you could the one with Christina Hendricks on Mad Men. Was also on AMC, and they had much lower viewership as a, like per hour than like a lot of these other bigger shows that were on, like ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, etc. But those big networks require much larger viewership in order to justify them being, you know, them remaining on the air. You could stay on the air at AMC on AMC. With much smaller viewership because they don't have as much expectations for commercial income to be coming in. The big networks need you to be able to bring in much more people in order for it to not get canceled almost damn near immediately. Good night, Mish. I'll definitely take hugs. I love giving hugs. I'm a big huggy guy. Big fat man hugs are the best. If you don't believe me, you're welcome to have one. Anyway. So this is the end of today's episode of Libertarian Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right. I will be, again, on twitch.tv/nerdydan.com tomorrow, 7 or 8-ish, if you want to join me there. Otherwise, I'll be back here Wednesday, same bat time, same bat channel, for more Libertarian Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right. Unless anything surprising happens that I might come on earlier, who knows, we'll see. But, again, 8 p.m. Central, Mondays and Wednesdays. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, follow the Twitch channel, all the different ways you can support have been posted already, but super chats, memberships, subscriptions on Twitch, bits, all that good stuff, everything is appreciated. Patreon.com/SuperDan if you want to help more long term. Thank you so much, and have a good rest of your night. Bye. Thank you.